This is Lauren Bond, and welcome to Dub Labs Out There. Imagine a soundscape that not only stimulates your auditory senses, but also connects us with the more than human world. Metabolic Sonic's groundbreaking practice, in which we have literally broken through the concrete of the LA River, fuses the machine with the biological.
And it's something that, well, I'm an organizer outside of the studio, and I work with community a lot around like urban greening and conservation, and I confront that on a day-to-day basis. Like when people are unable to keep food on table, when they're facing eviction, when they're facing systemic criminalization and policing, like the last thing they want to think about is the environment and soil and nature and all that, because they're just trying to survive. The way I confront it is with a little bit of storytelling and with a little bit of education, because the reality is communities like Lincoln Heights, Chinatown, Dogtown, Legion Valley, and every other community that is adjacent to this industrial corridor of the river, we also confront clean soil crisis. Right, like all of our backyards, all of our areas in the community, even like existing parks are toxic, right? And if we really want to think about liberation to scale for everyone here, it mandates having to confront that clean soil crisis. And for me, moving mountains is part of a tool set to create that, to make that happen to scale, and to also inspire people and for them to have an active role in environmental justice and the fight for that. Does that make sense? But I think they're all interconnected, but that's not to say, I think that also means that for us to go about advocating for moving mountains, it also means having to confront colonial ways of thinking. It also means having to talk about how to make it culturally sensitive. But yeah, I think.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, I mean, we have like so many crises happening at the moment, right? And you can't attack everyone and you can't do everyone, but there's a lot of people who can take action, right? And so I think part of this is waking people up to the idea that these things are happening and we need everybody to get involved. You don't have to pick moving mountains. You could pick a food crisis. You could pick anything, right? But we have to get the word out there, and we have to start really taking care of our communities. And by creating healthier ecosystems, we are doing that for everyone in that community, right? So they don't have to be on the ground for this part because, yeah, they don't have time. And so I think it's really that, again, breaking down the decolonial mindset and getting people really activated to pick a thing they want to do and jump in. And this might not be yours, but like, you should pick something, right? Because we all need each other. This is part of it. And this is, yeah, policymakers aren't going to do anything until we band together and tell them this is what we want.
Thank you.
talk about moving mountains to community right now, the way I also like to think about it is I nest it with their current lived experiences, right? Right now, I mean, for decades, there's been talk about revitalizing the LA River to create all these parks and green spaces, to remediate spaces around the river, to confront this environmental justice gap. And a lot of community members around here don't want that to happen, despite the fact that this is all sort of geared towards them. And the reason why is because they know firsthand that once these communities become more environmentally just and better and healthier, they're gonna get priced out of their neighborhoods, right? Right now, our current sort of system commodifies environmental quality and systemically makes it inaccessible for these communities to actually access it, even when we try to bring it to their neighborhoods. And what ends up happening is this self-reinforcing colonial sort of structure where once we sort of improve a community, they get priced out and they have to go to an even worse community with even worse environmental quality. So for me, this type of work is part of a bigger picture to dismantle that whole system by thinking about scarcity as abundance, to start thinking about how we can like confront this colonial way of displacing people and commodifying communities and bringing in environmental quality. So that way we can actually improve the environment for everyone and people don't have to get priced out. It's a very complicated thing and I don't think anyone has figured out a perfect way to do it. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this is part of the solution and we just have to connect it to the bigger picture and articulate it to people and also confront these power structures and this commodification that continues this self-reinforcing way of hurting people. Does that make sense?
And I will say that at each of these discussions after these tours and after the tours we did for On Development, once you kind of start unraveling one piece, you see how everything is systemically connected, right? And so you can't take care of one without the other. And so, yeah, join wherever you want, whatever you can be involved in. We obviously love moving mountains because it is also disrupting a system that's already in place, right? We're not really creating anything new. We're trying to coordinate what's already going to our waste landfill that we're paying to actually have that happen. And then paying again to actually replace and repair. And I will say a couple of the times we've had these, people are like, maybe we need block captains, right? Maybe I could be the block captain and talk about this with my neighbors. Because again, posting stuff on social media, I mean, I obviously do it, but it only goes so far, right? You trust your neighbor, you trust the people in your circle, so we have to start there, and everybody can do that. You first and then.
Thank you. I really appreciated what you were speaking to just now, Diego, and I wanted to add because part of the work that I'm currently doing and the reason why I'm here today is I'm consultant with RMC, the Rivers and Mountains Conservancy, and I'm doing a lot of community engagement work along the lower LA River, specifically in the southeast LA cities. That intersect with the lower river from like Commerce all the way down to the Port of Long Beach. And I also recognize that in these conversations, oftentimes folks are saying is exactly what you spoke to, which is that we want long-term solutions, but we worry about the displacement of those solutions. And as we're seeing right now with the political movement, I'm understanding that, like, it's great to see a turnout of hundreds of thousands of people at a protest in downtown. But the impact of having smaller protests in various cities is actually, it's better, right? And so I'm seeing that now, too, as we're talking about all of these fantastic ideas. I think having smaller efforts disperse more widely is potentially one of the solutions, because if we focus all of our attention on the upper river and folks are seeing what's happening here, it might deter them from wanting to bring that into their areas. But if we do this in sections and in smaller groups, it would be really beautiful and interesting to see the impact of that long term. To see the model and the examples that are being offered here. I think it is really inspiring for myself. I think it is going to be something that I'll get to infuse into a lot of the conversations that I'm having with folks when they start to dream up what projects and programs they want to see in their cities and in their communities. So often it's like bike trails, parks, community gardens, all wonderful things, right? But I think we could be dreaming bigger.
Rent trucks to haul the tarmac you're not using to the right location, add water, a container for water to move water off your roof into a tank, roughly between $10,000 and $15,000.
And also includes testing the soil and any remediation that happen. So yeah, it's part of the studio's approach to mutual aid, and it's something that we're offering to organizations.
So that's what we charged for a private person?
Yeah.
If we do it in a nonprofit, we pay for it. And we also pay for our time to run pedagogical performative workshops meant to catalyze training that nonprofit to do the outreach and the maintenance, because that's before you get to maintaining it. So that's just to put it in place, but to actually then become part of a network of mutual aid is changing the idea of what public art is, who's it for, and how it can be generative of forming a new network.
Yeah, just all very insightful perspectives you guys all gave, and thank you, Diego. I love the way you elaborated on everything, and thank you for hosting us, Lauren. Basically, I think we're at a pivotal time where all these avenues are intersecting, and it's basically like we got to develop this hybridized system of looking at this paradigm that's, you know, always existed and dominated the land, and in that created what I call like a architecture of society, right? Where we're now forced to live in this grid that disconnects us from the land and our rituals and our community and all these valuable aspects of life that we've, as Indigenous peoples, have always, you know, embedded into our culture and into our daily life existence. And I'm very fortunate to have ties to that with my ancestral land in Jalisco, which is, the name itself is Jalisco, which means cal, land of lime. So we've always had acknowledgement of where we stand and how we work it and how that actually is a catalyst for, you know, projecting our lineage forward rather than, like, as you see, you know, it's, we don't even appreciate the soil. And so, I'm sorry, I'm not a public speaker. I'm a hermit usually in a shop. So all these points that you guys are touching base on, it's just like been floating in my head for probably 12 years and just trying to figure out a way to attack this independently. Because as I said, I'm an independent contractor and mostly I just deal with my own overhead and, you know, all the battles that ensue in that world. So I get absorbed. But now I'm at a point where I'm, you know, tired of fulfilling, you know, the elitist dream, which I would have been doing for close to 25 years now, just building beautiful houses for the rich. Now I want to build beautiful shelters and structures for where I come from, you know, working class, poor people that toil the earth. And that's what I want to manifest. And if we can come together as a community, which I know we can, it's all about, like, everybody has touched base on all these facets of this new paradigm that basically everybody has to now employ, right? Like, everybody has to do grassroots organization and do the work and basically, like I say, have skin in the game. So then we can actually have a stepping stone to then launch off of. And I've been trying to get in because I'm from El Sereno, I'm from South LA, I'm from this fucking area, and I'm not leaving. And I've been trying to network, and I've seen all this gentrification. I got pushed out of Frogtown. I'm almost getting pushed out of El Sereno Hillside, Rose Hill, etc., South Central, Watts. Like, it's affected me. It's fucking traumatic. And my grandpa was a bracero, so he came here in 1938. He was smart enough to go back to Jalisco and create the beautiful layout that he was able to do through, guess what, working the soil, yeah, creating something from nothing. Yeah. And I got to appreciate that early on, and I encapsulate that in myself. And then now I have children in my family. And so now I'm trying to, like, just reintegrate it in my everyday ritual of life. And I realize it's actually made difficult by the architecture of society, right? So it's actually like, it's a fucking battle, and I'm here for it. And I just wish we could be just more collaborative and receptive, and in that we can just project this forward and actually manifest it. On a side note, I build homes. I've been building homes, and what I'm trying to promote now is building homes with earth. And so the soil composition, all this biology and everything, I'm just geeking out, mm-hmm, on my own time and dime. So I value what you guys contribute, and I think it's hypercritical. So thank you all.
I was actually an honor to play tonight.
I could keep going, but, like, you know, we'll go private somewhere.
I think the only thing that I will just say is to, because I think we have increasingly in the past couple of years, I really do think that we are gaining a very significant consciousness to how all these different forms of oppression all intersect.
Yep.
Right? And I really appreciate you centering, like, your Indigenous lived experiences and how valuable it is to have a relationship to the land and to steward land and to build community around that.
Well, that's what honestly saved me, because I'm basically a statistic that wasn't supposed to make it out of the hood, because that was the majority of people in my barrio.
Yeah.
It's just drugs, alcohol, violence, and fucking trauma.
Yeah. Same.
It eats you up. Yeah. So it's like by default that I was able to embrace those realities.
Yeah. Same. I grew up here in Lincoln Heights. Mm-hmm. Having adjacency to all of our undeveloped hillsides is what saved me. Right? Yeah. Having a relationship to the land is what gave me an alternative.
Right.
Right. And for me, this is what this space represents. It is an alternative to a system that we're constantly indoctrinated to believe is the only route forward. And so I really invite all of you to,
I hope you all feel inspired. I hope you continue to challenge our paradigms and our ways of thinking. And I think something as humble as soil can be a revolutionary tool, right? It's just a matter of thinking about it outside of the box that we've been taught to think in. So thank you for your time. I don't know if you want to say anything else, anyone? But I think it's going to take all of us collectively to make this happen to scale, right? So I appreciate y'all.